Welcome to the BaseCS podcast, where we explore the basics of computer science concepts. I'm your host, Saran, founder of Code Newbie.
And I'm Vaidehi Joshi, author and developer.
And she is the brilliant mind behind the BaseCS blog series. Today, we're talking about
binary trees.
This season of BaseCS is brought to you by DevDiscuss. DevDiscuss is a show I work on with the team at Dev, an international supportive community for developers. The show addresses the many burning topics that pop up on Dev every day and is hosted by Jess Lee and Ben Halper, two of Dev's co-founders. Past episodes have included unpopular opinions with Kelsey Hightower, staff developer advocate at Google Cloud and a legendary voice in tech.
So an unpopular opinion should be like, computers were a mistake. Was this all worth it?
And how changing your name is a difficult, unsolved, and sometimes personally devastating problem in tech.
I basically walk through this world, through this minefield of not knowing when I'm going to have this like sort of deep emotional wound reopened.
As well as how little known tools can have big productivity gains.
And I think it gives me the sense of structure, which I really enjoy. And also you can color code different things.
Each episode features interesting guests from diverse backgrounds who are active in the software space. This podcast is your place for burning tech questions, answers, and genuine conversations. And we also end each episode with commentary from the everyday developers who call Dev home.
You'd be surprised how many things making music and coding have in common.
True to the Dev community, DevDiscuss wouldn't be possible without the input from all of you. So listen, rate, and subscribe to DevDiscuss wherever you get your podcasts.
So when we talk about trees, the only tree that I think I've ever really heard of is a binary tree. Are there tons of other equally popular trees, or do we generally just care about the binary tree?
I would say that the binary tree is probably the most prolific one. Mm-hmm. And all of the other trees that are used in computer science are generally subsets of a binary tree, which means that they effectively are a binary tree with like more constraints and more rules and specific behaviors. But binary trees are probably the most common type of tree structure, which we'll learn about why that's the case today.
Okay, so we talked about how to describe a tree. For example, we talked about how it can be balanced or unbalanced. We can talk about the tree's depth or its height. But when we give it a name, like you are a binary tree, what are the things that we care about? What makes it a binary tree?
In season one, actually, in our very first episode, we kind of talked about binary as a concept. And
yeah, we did. it was awesome.
It was really good. It was one of my favorite episodes. But we're already familiar with the term binary because we know that it comes from the base two number system. And for a quick refresher, binary basically, in a very, very simple way, means anything that is relating to, or in most cases, composed of two things. So when we talk about like binary as a language, we're talking about a language that has two possibilities, zeros and ones. Mm-hmm. So when we think about it in the context of trees, what we're really saying is a tree that has two sides to it or two parts to it. And you can maybe start to guess what that means because we know that a tree has a root and it has a root node that can have child nodes. Mm-hmm. So for a binary tree, based on the name, we can kind of figure out that this is a tree that can only have two children.
Yeah.
Because it's binary. It can't just have like 75. This is like a very typical nuclear family that we're talking about.
Yeah. And that's what I noticed too when I was looking at the picture of a binary tree. It's like what I would draw. If you said, draw me a tree, I would say, okay, great. We'll start at the top. We got, you know, one kid over here, a kid over there. They each have a kid. It just kind of goes on. It looks like a very typical idea of a tree. And part of that look is also the fact that it's symmetric, right? Like mm-hmm. you can cut it in half. It's like a Christmas tree. Is that part of the rule of being binary? Does it also need to be symmetric?
Well, if we think about the rule that every single node in a binary tree can only have two children, then by virtue of that rule, there is inherent symmetry to it.
Mm-hmm.
Because you're never going to have a node that has a left child on its own and then like 13 children on the other side, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
Like it's going to be kind of balanced because we know that with a binary tree, there can only ever be two children nodes. So there is an inherent kind of balanced structure to it. But you could also still stick with the rule of like every node can only have two children, but you could still end up with one tree that's heavily weighted on the left side and maybe isn't on the right side. And it could still be a binary tree just so long as every single node doesn't have any more than two children.
Okay, so it's not so much that every node has to have two children. It's that they can have up to.
Yes.
So theoretically, they could have none or they could have one and it would still count as a binary tree.
Yes, totally. A binary tree, like in its simplest form, has a fairly loosey-goosey definition in that way, in that up to two, but you could have fewer. There are definitely other trees that exist that are binary trees that are more strict, which we haven't talked about yet, but they are out there.
They're out there. Okay, so is that the main thing that makes it a binary tree, the fact that you can only have up to two kids?
That is one half of it. The other half of it is the way that things are ordered. When we start to think about the ordering, the reason for having only two children will start to make a bit more sense. So one of the rules with a binary tree is not just that you can only have two children, but more specifically, all of the children and grandchildren and great-grandchildren to the left of a node have to be less in value, which means if you have like a number, you know in a binary tree that the node that is the left child must be less than in value of the one we're looking at.
Okay.
So by the same token, the node on the right has to be greater in value.
Yeah.
If you start visualizing a tree that has, you know, maybe 10 nodes in it, and we have the root node and the root node is 5, then we know that all of the numbers less than 5 have to be to the left of the number 5. And all of the nodes that have a value that is greater than 5 have to be to the right. It's not like you can just put a number wherever. And that's like one of the fundamental rules of how a binary tree is structured and what you visualize it as. That's like the second half of the, you know, rule of two children.
So that's really interesting because it brings to my attention the idea that the two nodes that come from the parent node aren't there's like a left pointer and a right pointer. The direction of the pointers actually mean something.
Yeah. And one of the common terms that you'll hear used in the context of binary trees, especially when implementing them, is left child and right child. So when you just said left pointer and right pointer, you basically were, you were like putting your finger on the left child node and the right child node, because every single node can only have two pointers because it can only have two children. That's just the rule. And if we extend that even further, if you can have a left child and a right child only, then that means we'll have a left subtree and a right subtree. And we've kind of talked about the recursive nature of trees in general, right? Where every single node in a tree could actually just be the root of its own tree, which is what makes it a recursive structure. It's what makes it a subtree. So that means every single left child is within its own little subtree, and every single right child is also within its own little subtree. And that subtree still follows the same rules of a binary tree.
Oh, that's so cool. You got little baby binary trees in the big mama binary tree.
I love
that's cool. Okay, so let's see if we can do an example together. So let's do the one that you mentioned with the root node being 5.
Okay.
Okay, so we start with 5. Okay, so we bring in a new number, and the number is 10, right? So 10 is bigger than 5, so it's going to go and be the right child.
Yep.
Right? Okay. So then the number 2 comes along, and 2 is less than 5, so it's going to be the left child.
Yep.
Yeah, the left child. Yep. Okay, cool.
So just to like kind of recreate this picture, we have 5 at the root. And 2 is the left child, and 10 is the right child.
Yes. Okay. So nothing crazy yet. Things are pretty, you know, easy, pretty simple.
Yep.
Okay. So now let's bring the number 20.
For some grandchildren.
You sound like my mother. Okay. So Okay, so we have the number 20. The number 20 wants to join the binary tree. Mm-hmm. So we start at the root. Is it bigger or smaller than 5? It is bigger, so it's going to go on the right half of the tree. Mm-hmm. And now we compare it to the right child, which is 10. Mm-hmm. And because 20 is greater than 10, 20 is going to be the right child of my 10 node.
Yep. So now we have, yep, that's totally right. And so now we have a binary tree that has 5 at the root, 2 on the left has a left child, 10 is the right child, and then 10 has its own child, which is a right child, which is 20.
Okay. Okay, that's cool. That's cool. That's cool. We can do this. Okay, let's do one more.
Okay.
If we have let's do 7.
Okay.
So 7, comparing it to our root, which is 5. Mm-hmm. 7 is bigger than 5, so it's going to go on the right side. So now we're going to compare 7 to 10. Mm-hmm. 7 is less than 10, so this time it's going to go on the left, making it the left child of 10.
Yeah. So 7 is the left child of 10 and still a grandchild of 5, but it mm-hmm. both of those numbers that we basically just inserted values into our binary tree without necessarily mm-hmm. realizing it, which is pretty cool.
Yeah.
So the two values we inserted, 20 and 7,
yeah.
they all ended up being in the right subtree of our binary tree.
We have a really unbalanced tree. Uh-oh.
Well, it's tiny right now, so it's okay. We don't worry about it.
Okay.
If we go crazy inserting things, then I might be like, hey, Saran, red flag.
Stop it.
Balance it.
Yeah.
But basically we just created a subtree within our binary tree, because if you ignore 5 and 2, which is mm-hmm, our root mm-hmm. and our left child, and we just look at 10, 7, and 20.
Yeah.
That in and of itself, that little subtree is also a binary tree.
It's its own little family.
Yeah.
Yeah. Very cool. So, as much fun as that game was, why do we have to play it? Why is it important for us to follow those rules?
Why a binary search tree is useful isn't necessarily best illustrated with like us inserting two numbers into mm-hmm. a binary tree, because you're like, oh, right, mm-hmm. that's cool. We just, you know, added 7 and added 20. Cool story, bro. Like, what's the point? But I guess if you start to imagine a very, very large tree, mm-hmm. like a very large data set is really what we're talking about. And imagine having to search for a number and trying to check if that number exists in the binary tree. Or mm-hmm. Imagine we have a massive data set and we're like, look, I just want to add this number. I just want to insert the number 7. Like, that was easy for us just now because the tree was tiny and we built it up. But imagine if the tree had 1,000 nodes and now you're like, oh my God, where do I put this number? Like, how do I even know what to do? Because we're dealing with a binary tree, it's a little bit easier. It's actually a lot bit easier because you can kind of frame the way you approach it because you know it follows these rules and you know what to expect.
Yeah, there's a system.
Yes, and the system makes it very, very easy to search for specific values in particular.
Okay, so it is the searchability of a binary tree that makes it so awesome.
Yeah, the fact that you can easily search through a binary tree makes it super powerful. Mm. And there's actually a specific algorithm that's used for that we won't get into today, but we will very soon, I promise. And it relies on the fact that a binary tree is structured this way. And the fact that it follows these rules and has these characteristics. And if you know that a data structure is going to always follow these rules, then you can actually write algorithms to leverage that and make use of that.
Interesting. Okay, so binary trees sound very awesome, but how do I, as a developer, how would I implement it? Like, do I need to create a new object called binary tree, or like what does it actually look like on the code side?
Depending on what language you're working in, you will probably implement it slightly different ways, but any implementation of a binary tree will have to take into account the fact that the tree has a root node, and that there is a thing called a node. So you could imagine if you were doing this in an object-oriented way, you would probably have a you could have a tree class that has, you know, nodes. Or you could just have a single node that really is the tree, and every single node has some sort of reference to a left child and a right child. If you implement a binary tree, then you also need to take into account the fact that, like, you can't have more than two children. So mm-hmm. I could imagine writing this in, like, Ruby, for example, or JavaScript, and only allowing a single node when I, you know, define the node class to have two children, because you never want a node to have more than two. And the reference to another node would be that same node class, because nodes all behave the same way.
Mm-hmm.
But you can implement it in different ways. But I think the trickier thing when you're implementing is thinking about all the rules of binary tree.
Yeah.
And making sure that the way you implement it still follows those rules.
Yeah. And that's what I was thinking, because it sounds so complicated. I remember when we were talking about arrays and, you know, queues, and we're talking about the way to insert things. It was like, start on this end, start on the other end, pop, push. You know, like, it seemed just very straightforward. Whereas this, it feels like the method I would use to insert something needs to do a lot more thinking to figure out where to put it.
Yes, it does need to do more thinking, and it has to be kind of clever in that it needs to know the rules of a binary tree. Mm-hmm. But by the same token, it doesn't have to be too complicated, because really all you're doing is anytime you go to insert a node, for example, you start at the root, and then you compare the value of the thing you're inserting, the new node, to the one you're looking at.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, is it bigger or smaller? And based on the answer to that, you know, oh, I'm going to go to the left side or I'm going to go to the right side.
Yeah.
And what's really interesting is, when you go to, say for example, we have a node that's bigger, we're going to go to the right.
Yeah.
Then you're actually doing the exact same thing again, right? You're looking at the right node, and you're like, all right, I'm going to repeat the same step. I'm going to compare the value of the new node to this node, and based on the answer, I'll go to the left and the right. So really, the steps that you're taking aren't that complicated.
Yeah.
It's more like making sure making sure you do them and making sure you do them in the right order. But once you have those three or four steps down, really what you're doing is you're implementing the same few steps again and again in a specific order, which means that you can write an insert operation and you could really do it recursively and, you know, repeat the same steps again and again and just kind of work your way down and walk through the tree until you get to the exact right point to insert your new node, because the steps you're taking aren't different, because a tree is recursive and every single node is like a root node in itself.
And that's why the recursive property-ness is important. And that's where that comes in handy, because then when you're writing your methods and trying to work with it, you know that each subset is going to have the same rules and structurally be very similar to the large one. You can just do the same thing over and over and over again until you get to the right place.
Yeah, exactly. And I think writing an insert algorithm for a binary search tree is a great way to, like, practice writing something that is recursive.
Yeah.
Within, like, the first two or three times that you insert something, you'll be like, hey, I'm doing the same thing again and again. And you're like, I could abstract this out, which makes it a very good contender for learning how to write code like that.
Yeah. Okay, so we are just getting started with binary trees. The really good stuff comes next episode, where we talk about how binary trees help us use the power of the binary search algorithm, which we, like, kind of sort of talked about, not talked about in this episode, and we're going to really dig in next episode.
We just kind of flirted with the idea of it.
We flirted with the idea,
but,
yes.
But next week, we're going to go on a real date.
Yeah.
We're going to try to commit to it.
I love that. I love that. And you all can join us on our date. That's a little maybe much, but yeah. And that's the end of today's show. If you liked what you heard, leave us a review and make sure to check out Vaidehi's blog post on binary trees. Link to that is in your show notes. Also, make sure to take a listen to the Dev Discuss podcast that I helped make. It's the first original podcast from Dev, a global community of software developers of all backgrounds and experience levels. And the show covers burning topics that impact the daily lives of programmers and beyond. Hosted by Dev co-founders Ben Halpern and Jess Lee. Vaidehi, you want to say goodbye?
Bye, everyone.
Thanks for listening. See you next week.